This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Modernization with Mark Schroeder. Today, Mark will interview Marcel Sarrazin from BCD Software. For 30 years, iSeries, System I, and prior IBM mid-range users have come to depend on BCD to improve their business and end-user productivity. BCD makes it easier for you to modernize iSeries System I with their modernization suite of applications and professional services. Take this opportunity to learn more about using PHP and the BCD modernization suite on the IBM I. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Marcel Sarrazin of BCD Software.
Marcel, can you provide me a brief overview of your background with software modernization?
Yeah, well, I've worked for BCD Software for 9 years now. BCD is a software and services vendor in the IBM I marketplace, and we focus on modernization tools. So I spent my first 5 years in technical support, including managing the team. So I've spoken to hundreds of clients, helping them implement our modernization solutions. Whereas in the last 3 years, I've worked more with our business partners and on the technical sales side, working on things like customer case studies, success stories, and also doing all of our webinars. And in our webinars, we have a lot of IBM I clients attend that aren't our clients. And I see a lot of the trends and a lot of questions they have in terms of how should they modernize? Should they be refacing or rewriting using PHP or RPG CGI, for example?
You have a emphasis for software modernization. What kind of emphasis do you put for your company?
Yeah, our emphasis is really on the web. That's where we've gone in the last, probably since probably 99, 2000. We came up with WebSmart to develop RPG CGI web applications. We've since moved on in the last couple of years. We've included our refacing or web enabling solution, Presto. And the other two key products in terms of our web direction are Clover for web reporting and Nexus for our web portal. But our one other emphasis in terms of modernization is not in terms of application modernization. It's in terms of process modernization. So our tool called Catapult for automated report distribution.
So you're not trying to just have the company modernize their already existing application, but have them maybe improve their processes as they're doing that modernization. Is that right?
Correct. You know, it all depends on what the client's needs are and what the best, I guess, business case is for them. Sometimes it might be creating a real-time dashboard, or it might be eliminating printer costs, and that might be the fastest resulting solution for them, or that makes the most sense in their current, whether it's based on their existing skill set, resources, and so on.
You said you were involved in a lot of webinars and getting a lot of input from various customers, not necessarily your clients, but customers on a broad scale. What kind of reasons did you see that these companies are considering modernizing their applications?
You know, it's a good question. In terms of modernizing, if we're referring to just web enabling or refacing their legacy applications, one of the questions that comes up every time is, okay, these applications look great. You know, they look more modern because they're now web enabled, but what other benefits are there to doing this? So there's a lot of reasons there. One, just keeping the end users happy, whether it's management or the actual end users of the application. But the other ones from a more technical standpoint is, you know, if you're web enabling something with our product Presto, for example, all people need is a browser to access them. So there's no PC software to install, which leads to just easier deployment and maintenance of the applications. You can also now open up access to a new group of users. Maybe you didn't want to have them install some like client access on their PCs or some other 5250 emulator. So maybe vendors or even customers can now access your existing applications if you want. Some other reasons are, you know, if you're looking at doing a rewrite versus web enabling, you might want to web enable because, you know, you're not rewriting that whole business application. So there's a lower risk involved in there as well. If we're looking just at new web application development or rewriting an application, it's usually because there's a new business opportunity there. Maybe they currently don't allow people to do orders over the web. Maybe they don't have an e-commerce or even maybe a BlackBerry type of application where you can do order entry through a BlackBerry, stuff like that. So a lot of the reasons what we'd hope our customers are doing, it just, you know, what's the potential revenue or what's the cost savings? Maybe better customer service. We have some people where, you know, they used to call somebody on the phone, a customer service rep, to check inventory levels for them. Well, now that's an online inventory application that their vendors can access themselves.
Do you see that as companies are going forward, you know, there's a lot of newer applications and then there's their older applications that they're trying to build some kind of bridge in integrating these two applications or these two types of applications together as maybe as one of their motivations for modernizing?
We do see it, not all the time though. You know, a lot of shops that we deal with do have pretty much everything on the IBMI. They've been around for, you know, 20, 30 years. But in other cases, yeah, you know, some people do have applications running on different platforms. They need to implement web services to get these things communicating together. So definitely we do see it as one of the motivators.
Since you're using PHP, I'm assuming that you could potentially build applications that could run on the IBMI and on maybe Linux or Windows and sort of integrate that all together. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Any PHP applications, including the ones created with WebSmart, can run off of, like you said, the IBMI, Linux, Windows. We have customers running on those different platforms. Usually within one shop, they'll run off of the same platform, but you do have the choice.
There's questions on the IBMI as to what direction it's going to go for the future. Some people are saying, you know, it's got a few years left and it's going to disappear. Others say it's got many years and it's never going to die. It's a great workhorse. How do you see these views affecting modernization and the decisions to modernize applications?
There's really, I guess, three different viewpoints that I see myself, one from our clients, one from ourselves, and one from our business partners. In regards to our clients, I don't think it's had much of an effect on them. You know, we're talking about people that have been running these applications for many years. They're very satisfied with the platform. They're not really concerned, I don't think, of, you know, the market shrinking a bit. So they are just sticking with the platform. And one thing that we always have to keep in mind, this is one of the big perceptions that we try to change, is you can create as modern or sophisticated as an application as you want on the IBMI, whether it's with PHP, RPG, or Java. So the capabilities there on the platform, sometimes it's just a matter of changing the perception. For ourselves, we've been dedicated to this specific market segment for over 30 years, and that continues to be our focus. You know, we do have the PHP solution, which gives us a bit of flexibility, but if you look at our past history, when IBM kind of went down the Java route, we also had a WebSmart Java edition that followed that trend. So that also had multi-platform capabilities where the same thing's happening with PHP. One area or one group of users that we do see it change a bit is some of our own partners that create their own software packages. If they're starting from scratch or they're looking to modernize their existing application, they're tending to look more at a multi-platform solution so they can host it off of Windows in some cases or Linux and so on. But for ourselves, we're still fully dedicated to the IBMI. And really the reality is a lot of these customers to get off of the platform would take years and years of rewriting proven solid applications. And if I was a CEO or CFO or CIO, whoever makes the decision, you know, if you don't have anything to show for 3 years of work trying to switch platforms, you know, you better have a good reason for it, I guess. So I can't imagine most of our customers just leaving the platform. They've just got too much invested.
It's good to know that there's going to be some software development tools around for years to come then for the IBMI.
For sure.
Companies are looking at modernizing. What kind of benefits do you think they'll experience in modernizing their mission critical applications?
Well, the benefits, I guess it comes along again with one of the previous questions with the, you know, the reasons why people are looking at modernizing. And it all really comes down to, again, the business case. So increasing revenues or reducing costs. You know, one easy example is always the ordering system that can increase revenue. If you make orders easier to complete the transactions, if you can let end users complete it themselves, you know, that can really help your bottom line. And always just In terms of modernizing, if we're talking about going from green screen to web, one of the big benefits is just end user satisfaction. People are going to use it. You might be more willing to put into different groups of users' hands, such as customers or vendors. Other benefits, maybe not the biggest benefits, but if you're doing your modernization correctly, your web-enabled applications should be easier to navigate. You should have things like links and drop-down boxes, things that most users who have never seen a green screen, which is a large percentage of the population, it would be intuitive to them. That can reduce training costs. And again, one of the huge benefits of anybody going to a web environment, whether rewriting or web enabling, is the ease of access and deployment. All people need is a browser. We had one case where we have a large Fortune 500 company that we created some applications for through our services department. Well, that application is accessed by 6,000 of their stores. It's an inventory management system. Now, if you can imagine, if that wasn't web-based, so whether you're installing client access or some type of Windows-type PC software on 6,000 sites, that would be a huge project, and just in terms of the deployment and the maintenance of it.
I think that's a good explanation of why client-server didn't last for a real long time.
Exactly. And you just look at, you know, what Google's doing, and just the really any new startup or anybody that's making progress in terms of CRM applications and all that, it's all web-driven.
Right. The web is such a great way to deploy applications.
Definitely.
When you're approaching a modernization project, are you expecting that it's going to be just one way? You know, is it only refacing?
Yeah, no, it's always wide open at the beginning until we find out the customer's needs. So each situation is very specific. You know, what's driving the decision to modernize? Some questions that we would want to ask, you know, is it an in-house application? Is it an external application? What is your existing staff's skill level? Or are you looking for outside consultants to do the work? So depending on all of those factors, we may recommend a rewrite. We may recommend refacing or refactoring when you create a new front end and call some of your back end RPG logic. It also depends on how that original RPG program was written. If it's written along ILE standards, you know, a modular approach where you can reuse that code, then something like refactoring makes a lot of sense. But if you're looking at an old legacy application that's hard to maintain, the programmer hasn't been there for 10 years who last worked on it, well, you know what, maybe refacing is the way to go. So it really depends, but we come in with a pretty open view of what we would want to do with them based on their needs.
And I suppose that the tools that you provide allow for that flexibility for the customer to do the modernization as they need, and then you provide the tool that fits that best.
Well, exactly. You know, we're one of the few vendors that has a solution for web enabling, that has a solution for web development, but not only just web development. You know, our WebSmart tool also gives you the option, do you want to develop in PHP, or do you want your programs to be an RPG, ILE, CGI program? So I find we're in a really unique position where we can have a pretty open discussion and not be biased, or too biased anyways, but we have a lot of different options based on our own solution. So should you web enable or should you rewrite? Should you go with PHP or RPG for web development? For us, it doesn't matter if those are your questions. We can answer those, the pros and cons either way.
You mentioned earlier that you had a tool that developed Java code. Why do you think that Java hasn't been a real successful language on the IBM i? I know some companies have really taken over and they've really gone a long ways with Java, but overall it seems like it hasn't taken hold as much as IBM sort of wished it would have.
I'd say complexity and performance would be the two main reasons. For a small IT shop that's busy maintaining their existing applications, just for them to learn Java, it just doesn't seem achievable. Object-oriented programming doesn't seem to come that easily to somebody that's always coded procedurally. We've had some business partners report to us, you know, they started down the Java WebSphere route, but they just used up too much resources. The performance was slow. They had a big system, worked fine on theirs, but when they got to the customer system, ran the same application but on a bit of a smaller box, all of a sudden it wasn't performing very well. So one of our partners specifically, 4 years ago, that's what they had. They had a Java solution. They switched to PHP. Now, 4 years ago, PHP wasn't even really supported on the IBM i, so they were hosting it on Windows but accessing DB2. So they were ahead of the curve in a way, but they saw those limitations right away. And anybody that I speak to that's looking at a web development solution that has tried Java or WebSphere, in most cases, after like 30 days of evaluating Java and WebSphere, they don't really have anything to show for it. So you have no early success, and you don't really see the end of the tunnel at all. You don't really even actually know where to go sometimes in terms of configuration and so on. And just to clarify one point in your question was, we've actually discontinued support for our Java edition of WebSmart about 6 months ago because we've had the PHP edition out now for about 3 years, and that's where the main interest lies.
Well, we've been talking about the benefits of moving a legacy application to the web, you know, how it's so easy to deploy and so forth. COBOL or RPG programmer, they've never worked on the web before. So what kind of skills are they going to have to learn in order to get to the point where they can actually build these web applications?
You know, again, it depends on what they want to accomplish. When you talk about modernizing and refacing an application, there's really two possible options. One is they just want web access to it without really changing much. That is what you've heard in the past as lipstick on a pig. It's the same application, just has different colors really and not much else. That level of modernization really doesn't take many new skills. You might need a little bit of basic HTML depending on what you're doing or what tool you're using. For anybody that wants to take that next step and enhance the application to the point where people sometimes they're not even aware that that's a green screen in the background that is running that program, you know, there again, you'll just need some HTML experience. You can go much further than that, though. You can start learning JavaScript and Ajax and style sheets and create very sophisticated looking web applications as well. So it really depends on what you want to achieve. But in any case, basic HTML is usually recommended.
Why do you think that IBM iShop should consider PHP as an alternative language versus Java or .NET as a good modernization tool?
From our early customers' experience in the last year and a half, people are succeeding with it very quickly. And one of the reasons for that is you can write it procedurally. So right away, they understand how the flow works, and they don't have to worry about object-oriented, which they can go to with PHP, which is another great benefit of it. When you're ready, you can, you know, code your PHP object-oriented. So the achievability is really big there. Another reason why they should consider it, multi-platform, if ever they, you know, we've talked to the odd shop that does not want to use their IBM i as their web server. Now, I'd say 90% of our customers do that, as do we, and you know, it's the most secure, reliable platform. But some shops do have certain criteria for whatever the reasons may be. So PHP gives you the opportunity to host your web server on a different platform if you want, as well as accessing databases on different platforms. But that's also achievable through even RPG. Some other reasons why they should consider PHP. It's open source, so there's usually a really low cost to get in terms of tools, language. You know, if you do, you always refer to the LAMP stack or the IAMP stack if you replace the Linux with the IBM i. So it's very easy in terms of your cost to start with PHP. There's also a lot of open source solutions you can take advantage of. A lot of free scripts out there. So some solutions like Sugar CRM, Drupal for CMS, you know, they're available, and you can often enhance them further if you know PHP. And it's just a proven language. For some IBM i shops, they might think PHP is a really new language because it really just came to the IBM i or was supported on the IBM i in the last 2 to 3 years. It's been around a lot longer than that, and it's used by millions of sites. You know, I think there's 20 million sites that are created with PHP. There's about 5 million PHP developers out there as well. So it's definitely a proven language.
Provides for a lot lower cost developer, I think, in the long run too, because there's such a nice pool to pull from.
Definitely.
I do sign-on 2E programming, and the pool for that is not very big.
Yeah.
Say a shop decides to go with PHP. What would be the quickest way for COBOL and RPG group of programmers to learn PHP?
Well, in my opinion, of course, our own WebSmart product is the quickest way. And the reason I say that is in most PHP IDs, pretty much every other one out there on the market, you pretty much start with a blank slate where you have to start coding the PHP code, including the access to your database, to your server, your data retrieval, and all that stuff for your subfile paging. Or, you know, if we're talking PHP, people will use the word table instead of subfile, but just the whole paging, updating records. So WebSmart, right when you install, within a couple minutes, it does all of that for you. It even creates the Apache instance for you. So you think of all those hurdles that an RPG or COBOL programmer would have to take or overcome on their own without a tool like WebSmart. Just in terms of learning PHP by itself, there's so many resources out there, tutorials, and all free type of resources. W3 Schools would be the main website that we tell people about. And of course, there's php.net, which is the official PHP website. And is also, we even link to that from our user's guide and our H1 help as to the documentation for all the PHP functions accessible through WebSmart.
So say you have an RPG programmer that's going to, instead of do a green screen, now they're going to do this web application. What are some of the challenges that they're going to come across?
There's pretty much two things that I have seen anybody in that situation come across, and pretty much anybody I've ever helped in our technical support, that's what, you know, they're coming from an RPG background with no web experience. So right away, there's just the HTML. And there's really no way around, you know, there's a lot of visual editors out there. We have one in our WebSmart tool. There's more sophisticated editors like Dreamweaver and those types of tools. But at some point in time, you're going to want to go into that HTML code and make some changes yourself. The good news there is HTML is not that hard to learn. Within a few days, you can learn the basics, such as how do you code a table, a link, and a form. Those are the three, really the major things, just to create the basics. What some people kind of get sidetracked on with the HTML side of things is they think they have to create some fancy graphics, come up with some really nice color schemes. Well, in most cases, your organization already has that on their public website. Or what we recommend is, you know, just outsource that to, you can usually get a college student or a web design company. It's a fairly cheap resource and one that's, you know, easy to find. And just get them to come up with your schemes. Whereas you just worry about, well, where do the fields go? What's the validation on those fields and so on? Now, the other challenge that I've seen many people encounter, and this is true for any really web development language, is the concept of stateless programming. All of these web development languages, they pretty much run in a batch type environment where if you click on a link, you have to make sure that all your parameters are passed or you use session IDs to retrieve that information and to set that information. So I see that very often where somebody loses their filtering criteria on a screen, and that's just because they weren't passing the parameters. Sometimes they're used to the call stack or their programs handling that automatically in a green screen environment, but that's just not the way it works in a web environment. So you just have to be aware of that. You know, in a green screen, you pretty much know how they got to where they are and where they can go from there, whether they're going to hit F3, F12, a subfile option. Well, when somebody's on a web application, they can go check their web-based email in that same browser screen, and then they come back and maybe refresh their screen. So you got to make sure you're saving off that information, like I said, through cookies, session IDs on the server side, or just in links and forms on your screens.
So does WebSmart help you in managing the stateless situation, or do you still have to manually do it?
To a certain extent, for example, when you create, let's say, an inquiry program with a bunch of filter fields in WebSmart, all of the fields that you select through the wizard process, it handles the statelessness for you. It saves it into a cookie and a session ID for you. But when you start adding new information to the screen, then you have to add where that information is saved. You have to add the code there. But what's great is you already have the framework for how to do that based on the other fields that you've added through the template process. So you can always go through that. We also have a chapter in our user guide called Web Programming for Green Screeners, and that is all about stateless programming. And then we have technical support that is, you know, kind of top of the industry where you call, you get somebody on the phone right away, and they can help you out. And that's a big advantage that we have as a company as well, even in regards to PHP, open source is great, but if you don't have anybody to call, it can be pretty daunting. Whereas with our support that's been around for however many years we've been developing, you know, 30 years, you can call somebody on the line and we'll help you out with pretty much any type of question.
It's always nice to have someone there to that you can call.
Well, it's true.
Sometimes you might be working on something that you're just spinning your wheels and spinning your wheels, and it can take 5 minutes on the phone and you're off and running again.
Well, exactly. And like I said, most people that we deal with, they are RPG programmers. They're new to web development, probably new to PHP, and they're busy. You know, to set aside 8 hours to learn something is hard, where if you can ask somebody a question, like you said, you know, it's a few minutes, you'll save a lot of time.
That's always great to have. Another question, when I talk to people about using PHP for an iSeries application, they say, well, it's open source and it's a scripting language. So, I mean, obviously it's not going to be able to build a real enterprise application. What is your take on that?
Yeah, well, we, you know, our belief is that it definitely is sufficient to build enterprise applications. Scripting language, maybe just the name is a bit misleading. Well, there is an option to compile PHP, but even then, we still have 5,000 functions available in PHP. You look at some of the really large websites, I don't, you know, people might not consider Facebook an enterprise application, but just in terms of the sheer size of it, the access and the security in it, you know, that information must be secure based on all those users. If you look at Sugar CRM, a fully featured CRM application that's open source written in PHP, I think those types of things prove that it is possible. I've been hearing some industry experts say, well, you know, we do use PHP, it can do a lot. I still prefer doing my business logic in RPG. Well, if you fall into that camp, well, that's fine too, because in PHP you can call RPG programs, those back-end type of programs. So you can have it kind of that way if you want, but we don't really see it is possible to do it all in PHP. In pretty much every case, it's possible with the i5 toolkit provided by Zend with functions to access things like data queues and so on the IBM i.
So do you find that running PHP batch applications is pretty good compared to like running a COBOL or RPG application? They run pretty much as efficiently?
I don't have any benchmarking information myself, but I guess just from what's out there in terms of other organizations running big applications, doesn't seem to be a problem.
One of the other big buzzwords out there right now is SOA. Java.NET, they can all use SOA. What about PHP? Can you use service-oriented architecture that way?
With PHP, you can do web services. There's different types of web services, I guess the main one being SOAP or XML RPC. So you can do all that. If you go to php.net, there's a lot of documentation on those types of things. Some of these are libraries of functions, sort of like a framework, and what they'll do is they'll help you with the hard part of this, which is constructing and deconstructing the web service documents.
Well, say you have a Java function out there, and it just does exactly what you want. Are you able to call or utilize Java within PHP?
You can. Based on some research I've done, I have never done this myself. I actually haven't even talked to any clients that have done this, just because we deal with so few people that are actually using Java. But it is possible to use Java classes from PHP.
How does your product WebSpart make PHP a good modernization alternative?
With WebSmart, what the big benefit of there, let's say you're going to choose to go down the PHP route. With WebSmart, you'll get instant results. So when people are evaluating technologies that are new to them, they have to make a decision to invest time to research this. What WebSmart gives you is instant momentum. You get instant results. Within really 30 minutes, you can download the product and create your first fully functional application, including your subfile, your database access, record updating, filtering on the screens. It creates the HTML for you, the Apache instance. So all those things really make WebSmart a good choice. And WebSmart, or I guess PHP benefits from WebSmart, because we find it is the best tool for an RPG programmer to succeed in PHP development.
Sounds pretty good. How does a person create an application? What are the basics of the the WebSmart process?
Yeah, so after you've installed WebSmart, what WebSmart includes, which is the biggest feature in WebSmart, are what are called program templates. Now, what happens here, so you start a template, your starting point, you can choose out of many different templates, but you have to decide pretty much, are you going to do a transaction processing type of application, inquiry type of application, maybe a maintenance of a file type of application. So once you've decided your starting point, we have different templates for those things. You start the template process. It prompts you for things like, well, what's your PHP file name going to be? Where on your IFS is this file going to be FTP'd to once you're done the process? It then prompts you for which files you want to use, and you could add multiple files. It asks you for what type of SQL join you want to do. It then prompts you for which fields you want on the subfile, which fields you want on the single record, and which fields you want to filter the subfile. And again, when I say subfile here in the PHP world, people will always use the word table instead of subfile. So once you've gone through that wizard process, it creates all the PHP and all the HTML and the CSS for a fully functional application for you. Then through the WebSmart IDE, you can make any customizations that you want to the PHP code or to the HTML.
That's nice to have that all basically built for you in the beginning.
Yeah, and in terms of a speed tool, you know, we consider it a productivity tool and also an educational tool. When you'd asked before, what's the fastest way for an RPG programmer to learn PHP? The beauty of what WebSmart does is you now have a fully working program over top of one of your own database files. So what you can do is you can go through that code and see, well, how do you connect to a database? How is a record updated? I myself, you know, people learn in different ways. My favorite way to learn is by looking at examples. Some other people prefer to start from scratch and kind of go through the hard part first, where I like to get a quick start, get some success behind me, get some results, and then as I need to do more, I can kind of dig deeper into understanding how it all works.
So then with WebSmart, you can build both the front-end GUI side, and you can also build the back-end, the jobs that you might be submitting on the iSeries. Is that right?
Yeah, in most cases that we've seen, our customers are doing the whole application with WebSmart PHP, doing it in PHP. You know, if they have existing back-end RPG, they might call some of those programs from the WebSmart PHP application. So it's really people's choices on what they want to do. But there's really nothing holding you back from just doing the front-end PHP, essentially, and then calling some back-end RPG if you want.
Zen, you mentioned them a little while ago. They're very involved in PHP on the IBM i. Does WebSmart integrate with Zen, or do you use Zen technologies? Do you have to buy Zen stuff, or you know, how do you work with them?
Yeah, well, it's a good question because it's kind of funny. We've heard people say, well, we're doing Zen PHP, so we can't use your product. And that's completely inaccurate. The way it works is the first thing that Zen did for the IBM i is provide Zen Core, which has been great. That's what's allowed PHP to be on the IBM i. So Zen Core is really your PHP runtime engine, you know, your PHP stack. It includes PHP functions that work. They call them the i5 PHP functions for accessing things like data queues or calling RPG programs. So WebSmart, if you're going to run the WebSmart PHP applications on your IBM i, you need Zen Core installed. And Zen Core is free of charge. We saw a blog or a message board the other day that had some confusion on it. They thought you had to pay for it after the first year. That's not true. You do not have to pay for Zen Core on the i5. So that is where we integrate all of those i5 PHP functions provided by the Zen toolkit. Those are also accessible through the WebSmart IDE. So in both cases, whether you're using Zen Studio, which is Zen's PHP development IDE, or WebSmart PHP, you're still using PHP functions. You're using the same PHP functions. They're all open source, non-proprietary PHP functions. And you can also do things, just a couple of other products that are newer that Zen's been announcing, or that's been a while, around for a bit, things like Zen Framework. That's a library of functions. So you can also make use of those within WebSmart if you want. And then there's Zen Platform for more optimizing runtime performance, things like caching, also some things in terms of error tracking. So you can also use Zen Platform with the PHP applications created with WebSmart.
So it sounds like WebSmart can sort of grow with you as technology sort of modernize for PHP itself.
Well, exactly. And that's the whole point, I guess, of open source technologies is creating something that's really non-proprietary and then being able to share a lot of that amongst different applications or tools or solutions.
Now, another one of the big types of applications that are out there are the Ajax applications. I think Google Maps is probably one of the better examples of that. Can WebSmart build Ajax applications?
Definitely. With either version of WebSmart, you know, we have the PHP edition, then we have the ILE edition. What it's actually creating, it's HTML, just like any other web application out there. It's CSS, it's JavaScript. So that means you can implement Ajax. So we have a lot of examples on our website that show you how to do Ajax examples. The most common one that we always show people is doing an autocomplete. Let's say you're typing in maybe an email address or a company name in a field. So as you're typing, it will do an Ajax call to that database file essentially. And every time you type a letter, it's finding the matches in that file so that you can do an autocomplete. So if you type in C, you'll see all the names that start with a C. And then if you type in A as the second character, then it'll subset it to whatever starts with CA. So that's one example, but you can definitely do that within WebSmart. And even in our Presto Web Enabling solution, you can use Ajax.
Well, that's nice because Ajax really is what makes a web application so much more like a Windows or a desktop type application.
Yeah, and that kind of comes back to a couple of your other points in terms of, you know, what do RPG or COBOL programmers need to know? It depends on how far they want to take their applications. But just from the trends we've seen in our customers, you know, 5 years ago, people were all new to HTML and CSS. Now we're seeing some people that already have that experience, and they're ready to go to the Ajax and take it to that next step. Or they've delivered applications to their end users, and the end user is now used to working with things like Google, maybe Gmail, and they're seeing all these really nice bells and whistles in the applications, and they want you to incorporate that stuff. So that's all possible. Once again, it just the learning curve for some people, that might be step three out of, you know, three steps in terms of learning the HTML, learning the CSS, maybe even learning the JavaScript in there first, and then moving on to something like Ajax. But we put examples out there. We've also done at least two webinars on Ajax. Our president, Duncan Kenzie, of our technical services and solutions, has done them through SystemI Network and through our own webinars as well, because it is a very popular topic, but also a very important one to deliver the best web applications that you can to your end users.
One of the ways to build applications on the web, especially, is using the model view control type pattern where you have most of your HTML maybe is your display, and then you have the database access all separated and your business logic separated. Now, does WebSmart generate this type of application, or does it integrate the PHP and HTML more together?
We do consider it that it does use a MVC. And the reason for that is when you're working with WebSmart, within our IDE, the HTML is completely separated from the PHP code. The database access is still in all the logic, so that's not separated out. But just in terms of the view, it is completely separated from the program logic, including the database access. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Having the HTML separated makes it a lot easier to read, a little bit easier to reuse. And it's also what RPG programmers are used to. They're used to having their own DDS and record formats separate from their RPG code. So when they look at the WebSmart IDE, which is where you do your development work, they can understand that whole framework of separating the display from the program logic.
You mentioned earlier that when you build a web application in WebSmart that it creates this fully functional application, which is nice. And you use templates basically to create that. Can you customize the templates so that maybe your company has a certain look and feel that you want to generate? You customize the templates and then all your programs are going to take on that basic look and feel?
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of the first things that I recommend people to do is actually to create their own template family. Within our IDE, you can just right-click on an existing template family, copy it, give it your own name, upload your own logo, and then change the color scheme if you want. So you can do that. You can customize the templates as well. You know, some customizations I've seen on several occasions, database file information is all uppercase just because it's an old RPG program. So on certain input fields, they want it always to be upper. So they'll include an upper function for any input. So you can do that from the template. You can also add your own logic in the templates. Some of the other things that what the templates do, they'll create that fully functional program. But when you're going to start doing things like validation, odds are you might do it in the program, but there's also a database repository in WebSmart. So you can define some business rules or presentation rules at the file level within WebSmart that are then automatically pulled into your code. Best example of that is if you have a field with a warehouse code in it, or sorry, a file with a warehouse code in it, and instead of the warehouse code being input capable, you'd rather have a drop-down box with all the warehouse names in it built over the warehouse master file. So you can have that automatically happen if you define it once in the repository. So that saves you a certain level of coding. One of the common perceptions of template-driven tools is, well, you're limited for some reason. Well, with WebSmart, you have full access to the PHP, and you can create any type of application that you want, as sophisticated as you want. Pretty much anything that you see on the web, you can create with WebSmart.
Well, that's pretty nice. As you grow in your sophistication, I'm sure that your applications are going to grow and become more sophisticated.
Yeah, and one of the things we didn't talk about earlier, too, is kind of the end user adoption. What happens often is somebody creates a web program or a web report. They send it to their end users. End user really likes it. They, oh, it'd be great if you could do this. Well, when you have a rapid development tool, you can start creating these things very quickly and then, you know, meet that demand as well on what these users want.
That's nice because sometimes when you're building your RPG or COBOL application, it might take quite a while to actually go through the process of making the changes and getting them to the user.
Mm-hmm.
Another area that is an issue with larger shops normally is change management. Maybe you have your PHP application up there already and now you're starting to do some changing of those applications. Does WebSmart or any of your tools provide help with that, or do you need to get Subversion or MKS Implement or something to help you with that?
Yeah, no, well, we do provide change management within WebSmart itself, so you can have multiple environments. You can promote, you know, from test to QA or development, and then all the way up to production. It archives any version of the program, so you can always revert back. You can do source compares. It tracks all of your changes, who's changed what, so it also logs who's had access to it. So that's provided with the tool. We have partnered with a couple of other vendors as well. The most recent one is with Aldon. You know, their change management solution works with WebSmart, so just a little bit higher level of sophistication there, where with their solution you can do things like move the CSS files when you promote something if you want, or some of the images along with that. They also provide a little bit more features when you're working on multiple systems in terms of moving objects and programs from system A to system B and so on.
So depending on what your shop needs, you can either go with what's built into your system or move up to something like Aldon and be able to have the multi-user, multi-system capabilities.
Correct.
Another area that's been an issue, I think, on the IBMI is reporting has always been sort of weak. You know, you have your base-looking reports, but you can't have really nice ones with graphics and all kinds of good-looking fonts and stuff. Do you provide any kind of capabilities for reporting?
Yeah, we have a product called Clover Query. It's a real-time web report and query generation tool. And it's really true. I think in terms of, you know, bang for your buck, the amount of effort you put into it and what the results are, Clover is one of the best things, or web reporting in general is one of the best things you can do, because a lot of that, again, you know, with Clover, it's all template-driven, but you can get some really good-looking graphs and drill-downs into detail levels, export that information to a spreadsheet, and management loves to see that stuff. You know, you put that out to a group of managers who are often the decision makers for all this stuff. They're seeing these results. They're seeing the real performance of their organization. They're going to really appreciate those applications. They may even be surprised that, hey, this is running from, they might even refer to it as an AS400. You know, that's where this stuff's running from, but they would never know that. Looking at these end result web applications or web reports, there's no way of knowing what platform it's really coming from. But the beauty of this is, well, you're making better use out of your DB2 data. And a lot of these shops that we deal with, that's where all their data is on the IBMI. So if you can give them a great tool, a quick tool to use like Clover and generate these web reports, I think they'll get a quick return on their investment with something like that.
So you're saying that with this, you can actually access the tool from the web. So maybe you have some users that aren't in the main office. They could still create these reports and generate them. Is that right?
They can access the reports, but to generate them, then it is a Windows-based environment in terms of just the development of them. But once the report is created, then it's all accessed. All they need is a browser and nothing else. We have an optional portal called Nexus to provide a secure login and menuing system to access those reports. That's optional, but you can also just access them from the browser if you choose to do that.
So then you can have graphs and dashboards and all kinds of good-looking presentations for these reports.
Exactly, and we provide some tools in there in terms of end users creating their own reports, such as predefined queries for them, being able to import Query 400 queries as your starting point so you can leverage some of that existing investment in there as well. And the other thing that you can do with all these web reports is you can provide a lot of filtering criteria. So maybe a date range or a range of organization or account numbers. And what that does, it really gives you multiple views of the same set of data using the same program. Whereas if you have a legacy report, for example, every time somebody asks you for a set of data, you might be creating a new report for them or something. But just by using filters and stuff, you can provide a lot of options to the end users running them.
Well, that's quite nice because a lot of times you'll have the report sitting up there that just needs one or two changes. And this way, you with those criteria, you can do it.
Yeah.
It sounds good. Aside from WebSmart, you have another tool, don't you, that can maybe help a company move to the web a little faster than having to create a whole PHP application?
Yeah, we have Presto. So Presto is for web-enabling existing RPG or COBOL green screen applications.
Can you give me a little rundown on how that works?
Yeah, well, with Presto, what you do is you install it. It takes about 30 minutes to install the product, and right what we call out of the box, you can then access all your programs and menus from a browser with nothing else being installed on the PC. You do not have to pre-identify all of your screens that you want when web-enabled. That just happens automatically. So you then have web access. So you start off at your sign-on screen, and you're just navigating your system like you would in a green screen. The difference is, instead of it being a green screen, it's all HTML. So what Presto is really doing is it's intercepting the data stream. So your RPG program is still running in the background, but another nice feature is it can all be running in batch resources. So Presto intercepts that data stream, interprets the data stream, and then renders it as HTML into the browser. Now, that's kind of the out-of-the-box experience. The second part of that is, well, there's a Presto Designer. That's a Windows-based tool that allows you to customize and enhance the application. So again, to go beyond that lipstick on a pig stigma of web-facing or web-enabling tools is you can further enhance it with any HTML, Ajax, CSS, JavaScript that you want on your screens. And really, if you're taking that next step, your end users probably will not even know that originally that was a green screen.
One of the things that some of the screen scrapers, like maybe Jaywalk or some of the IBM options are, you can actually reorganize the flow of how the screens work, maybe. Like, maybe you eliminate some of the screens. Can this also do that?
Currently in Presto, that's not possible. You can take one existing busy screen and break it down into, say, five tabs. So we've had some customers do that. That is a feature that we do would like to see added to the product in the future in terms of jumping screens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why would someone take Presto over, say, Jaywalk or I think Lancer has an option called Ramp? Why would you use your product over some of the other competitors?
Well, the main benefits of Presto, so all of these tools we always recommend, you know, try them out yourself so you can evaluate them yourselves. You can kind of do the feature-by-feature comparison. So just what the benefits are of Presto, you don't need to pre-identify screens, so they're kind of on-the-fly, dynamically web-enabled. You have the choice to run it just in batch. You have full access to the HTML to make any modifications you want. That's one of the most important things to look at in any of these tools is, can you modify this to further enhance your screens? Can you do things like adding links, adding images, putting in tabs, calendar lookups, all that kind of stuff? And the other thing about Presto is when you actually want to enhance it, Presto does generate just standard HTML. So anybody that's ever worked with HTML can look at that and understand it and change it. There's no proprietary code in there, except for we just have little replacement tokens, or at runtime, the actual database file fields show up in those places. So those are a lot of the advantages of Presto. And of course, you know, not requiring even an ActiveX control on the PC where the end user would access it from. That's just another important piece of information there just to look at when you're evaluating different solutions.
With just an HTML code generated, it should be a responsive application then. Sometimes if you use a Java front end, you know, you have a lot of issues with the response. I bet you get pretty good response time with yours.
Yeah, it does. And even behind the scenes with the way the, I guess, the Presto engine or the Presto hub itself, there's a lot of Ajax in there to speed everything up just from the web delivery of it.
It does include the Ajax, right, built in. You don't have to necessarily add a lot of the Ajax yourself to speed up the application itself, that is.
Yeah, not to speed it up. That's correct. Like the framework or the architecture of Presto, that's behind the scenes, but that's what speeds up the delivery of the application. But if you want to add something like an autocomplete to your application on an input field, then you would implement that yourself, add the Ajax, that is.
We're getting close to the end of our time here. Wanted to go over a little bit about what BCD does as a whole. You know, we've talked about Presto. We've talked about your report tool and WebSmart. What do you see as the direction of BCD and the direction of these applications, and especially in light of the area modernization for the future?
Well, our primary focus at BCD continues and will always really continue to be the IBM iMarket. So how can we create tools that RPG programmers will understand? How can we create tools that are be ultra productive for them that they can use on their own, that they don't have to buy services for and have somebody there all the time showing them how to do things? So how can they succeed on their own with our products? And what these products really do, it's all focused on what their needs are, and those right now are modernization. How do we get things to the web, whether it's web reports or web applications? And we grow as the IBM iMarket grows. So our focus often, you know, right now, PHP, which is new to the IBM i, well, we're one of the first vendors to focus on that, and that's really paid off for us because it fits all of our things. It fits RPG programmers well, understand it. It's modern, it's the web. So that's been a great focus for us. So we'll continue to be on top of all the latest trends while continuing to really just make life easier for RPG programmers and the platform.
So it sounds like you're going to be there to really help out your customers as they move forward.
Exactly. We've created a new product, probably one every year. You know, we've had Presto last year. We had WebSmart PHP the year before that. We had Clover Query. Before that, we had Nexus Portal, the original WebSmart ILE edition, and then we have all of our more of our green screen RPG type focus tools, such as Database Maintenance, ProGen Plus, which is probably going on 20 years now in terms of RPG program development. It's like a 4GL. You know, so we've been around for a long time, but we stayed on top of where everything's leading.
Aside from just providing tools for people, you also provide consulting services, don't you?
Correct. We provide custom web application development or modernization services. So we use our own rapid development products to quickly create new web applications or refactor or reface solutions for IBMI customers. We do everything remotely so we can keep costs down. You know, with all the technology nowadays using GoToMeeting and things like that, VPN to connect remotely. Just had a group of longtime both IBMI and web experts to deliver these services rapidly and cost effective. And even with the last 2 years, one of the big things we've seen is just, we refer to it as cost certainty. You know, it's nice that you can hire a services group that can probably more accurately estimate a project's cost, time frame, and deliver that for you without a long-term commitment. So we do some long-term projects. We've had some open-ended projects that have gone on just for years and years, that new applications, when we're done one, they would request another one. We do some that it's more like a one-person month job, but our average is about 300 to 600 hours per project is what we do.
And I'm assuming that when you work with the customers, that you're actually mentoring them in these new tools as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a knowledge transfer that happens there. And we've seen it be very successful with many of our customers where, you know, they hire us, we get the application going. One or two of their team members might work with us or might come down for training. They take over the maintenance of the application. They may then extend it themselves. So we really encourage our customers to go that route, to learn our tools so that they can really just take over. Another downside in terms of the Jabba WebSphere approach is a lot of those people were just, anytime they wanted to make a change, they would outsource that change, and that gets very costly. So we have many examples of customers that just completely took over the web development. Sometimes they'll get in a resource crunch where they have a big project that they still might not be able to handle themselves, so they'll hire us again for another project. So we're very flexible in there. We'll do jump starts for people. We'll do the full project, or we'll work in tandem with them.
Sounds like between the tools you have, the consulting services you provide, and the mentoring, that you really help out people develop their applications and exist for a long time with that. That's a great service for the community.
Yeah, you know, it's the IBMI community, right? We want to really do what we can to make sure it keeps going strong. And I think it is going strong. I think a lot of it's just been bad press lately, but there's been some announcements from the upper management at IBMI that are, putting us at ease in terms of the support of IBM behind our platform and so on. So we're still very positive on the IBMI.
What's the best way for someone to get a hold of you or to get all the company if they need your products or services?
That they can go to our website, www.bcdsoftware.com, and all of our contact information is there. We have free trial downloads. We have recorded webinars on most of our products. So there's a lot of good information there.
Any other things you'd like to add to this before we end for the day?
No, just thank you for giving us the opportunity for this interview, Mark.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often on our website to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark Schroeder, please visit softwaremonetization.com and click on the interview link. This has been a production of MAT, Marketing Assistance Technologies.